The Gospel of Luke is unique in many ways, and certainly this one, the most notable one, that every time Luke tells a story, he has two parts, one addressed to a woman and one addressed to a man. So Gabriel shows up to Zachary, then to Mary. Zachary sings a song, Mary sings a song, and this passage today is typical, where we have a story about a man who lost a sheep and then a woman who lost a coin. In other words, we have a kind of proto-feminist theology here. And I don't think that's an exaggeration, because women take a very prominent role in the whole Gospel of Luke. And I suppose that's somewhat connected to this marvelous story about the prodigal son. It's been the source of inspiration for painters and musicians and writers, all kinds of people. And understandably so, because it opens up a view of the world that is really alien to us. By that I mean this. I think that most of us stand in the position of the elder son, vis-a-vis our relationship with God. I vividly remember one of my Jesuit teachers at the Mundelein Seminary in Chicago, who said, when I die, I'm going to have this great big bill tacked onto my cassock, saying, I've heard this many confessions, said this many masses, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to present it to God and say, now, what do I get? He was serious. In other words, he stands in the same relationship to God, unhappily, as this elder son. I work like a slave for you. And the problem, of course, is that the elder son does not know that he was not a slave. He was not subject to the commands of the father. The father was not going around giving orders. But he was so blind, he didn't understand this remarkable statement of all, everything I have is yours already. You didn't have to do anything. It's fascinating to think of this in terms of the way the world works. Because the world works precisely along the model of the elder son. There is no free lunch. Grace is some imaginary entity. But meanwhile, the hard knocks of life prove to us over and over again that you get what you pay for, etc., etc., etc. And this vision of the world that Jesus, in line with the Jewish prophet, brought to us, namely that the world is a gift, that everything we have is a gift, is truly alien to us. It is to me. Stephen Hawking has appeared on the news in a variety of places, the BBC, CBS, CBC, talking about the world as not needing a creator God. I mean, the law, I don't know cosmology, I don't know the laws of physics, but Stephen Hawking's latest theory is that the world could simply have emerged from nothing all by itself. I don't know what to do with that, scientifically. But if that's the case, if we do live in a God-free world, we only get what we pay for, if that, then this view of the world that Jesus introduced, or not introduced, but simply furthered, along with the other Jewish prophets, doesn't make any sense at all. Simply does not make any sense. We just thump along in this mercantile environment. For instance, the university today is very much a matter of you getting what you pay for. There's always quid pro quo. So what is at stake here is the question of who was really lost? Who was really lost? this kid who goes and drinks a lot and probably gambles a lot. Well, the son, who was in the presence of his father all the time and did not recognize what was going on. It's a real question. It's an urgent question, I think. In fact, that's where, if you will, in the phrase of William James, the cash value of faith comes into play. What do I really believe? How do I really construe the world? Do I truly believe that everything you have has been given to us freely, without strings? And I think that's why the parable is so startling, so countercultural, so counter all kinds of things. Because that's not my experience of life. But that's what we're called to. And the attendant on that is the sense of generosity and freedom above all. Liberation for the world. That should open to us, open us to.